I want to thank Oscar for deferring a question he had yesterday, since I was planning to talk about the subject of his question, which is the last two lines of this case that we've been discussing, Yang Shan's mind and environment. And it's not like this is saving the best for last. We've had quite a full meal of the teaching of the stage of faith and the stage of person that Yang Shan, that seems to me to be the main teaching that's offered. The last two lines are kind of like dessert. They're kind of like they're kind of surprising, especially the first one, which is the monk after Yang Shan says, first the monk says, you know, when I get here, when I get to turning back the light to look at the source of thinking, I don't see any existence. And Yang Shan says, you know, this is right for the stage of faith, yet not right for the stage of the person. And then the monk says, he says, surprisingly, he says, don't you have any other way of guidance? You know, I can imagine, you know, if someone approached me like that, I would be dejected or something. But and it reminds me, it reminded me of the rather famous story of someone asking Suzuki Roshi at Tassajara, why haven't you enlightened me yet? And reportedly, Suzuki Roshi said, I'm making my best effort. So that is, you know, the response of someone who's not taking that question, you know, personally. You know, it's not caught by the question. And it's the case also here that Yang Shan is not caught by the question. And he responds, to say that I have anything particular or not would not be accurate. Based on your insight, you only get one mystery. You can take the seat and wear the robe. After this, see on your own. To say that I have anything particular or not would not be accurate. Based on your insight, the not seeing any objects, you know, not when he got here, he didn't see. His mind was just like space. There was no objects there. Based on that insight, you only get one mystery. You can take the seat and wear the robe. After this, see on your own. So one song, as he does, comments on every facet of the case. And his comment here is a little acerbic. You know, he doesn't, the Wansong doesn't just, he doesn't have just one modality of like praising the great teachers. He questions them himself. And you have to see what mood Wansong is in, you know, when he's commenting on these phrases. And his comment is, and the hymn refers to the monk, why make him shift his body and change his steps? As long as there is a road to ascend, there is an eminent person to traverse it too. So you can chew on that. But in a way, you know, one song is praising the stage of faith. He's praising the monk's enlightenment, and saying, don't be too hard on him. You know, pretty good, pretty good. Katagiri Roshi used to say that was his, one of his kind of what do you call verbal tics. Pretty good, pretty good. And so I think that's what Wansong is saying. Why make him shift his body and change his steps? He's doing pretty good, that monk. As long as there is a road to ascend, there is an eminent person to traverse it too. So he doesn't leave it there. Wansong doesn't leave it there. He has further comments. And he has in the Book of Serenity, this is the Book of Serenity, by the way. You all should own a copy. Yes, this is clear read. So to each case, there are added sayings, and this is one of the added sayings, and he breaks it down. He breaks down every line of the case, but in response to, based on your insight, you only get one mystery. I think this is a counterpoint. Again, he says, there's already a moon in the boat. There's already a moon in the boat. And in counterpoint to after this, seeing on your own, he says, Wansong says that Yangshan even adds winds to the sails. So this is telling it on the slant. This is the master of telling it on the slant. I could decode it for you, but then I'm not telling it on the slant. So what can I do? I have no room to move. The little added sayings. In response to the phrase based on your insight, you only get one mystery. Wansong says, "There's already a moon in the boat."
You may not be able to tell it on the slant, but Jin, you're really good at pulling your punch, so. Maybe you could do that.
Okay, well, I'll let you do it. What is the moon in Zen parlance? Right?
Enlightenment.
Awakened nature. What is the boat? What did Barry say?
Mm-hmm.
More. The boat. For my money, this body mind. This body mind. There's already a moon in this boat. So, you know, he's praising the monk. He's saying, you know, give him a break. You know? He sat all night, and his mind became like a calm pool, like cenote. Have you ever been to see a cenote? It's in Mexico. It's these places where the limestone kind of, it's very porous, and it, I don't know, it just gets big holes in it, and then there's these calm pools at the bottom. And his mind, you know, this mind that didn't see any existence was like that. You know, it was very placid. His body, this whole body mind was open to the moon, open to the moon. And that's, take something, I wouldn't, you know, I think one song is saying, you can't really take anything away from that. Can't really take anything away from that. And then as far as, he even adds wind to the sails, that's in counterpoint to, after this, see on your own. So, again, you can hear, oh, there's a reference to the sail, so there must be a reference to the boat. Oftentimes, Wansong accuses the teachers of saying too much, going overboard, you know. So adding wind to the sails, when, you know, everything is sufficient as it is. What was that, Todd?
Hot air.
Yeah, hot air, yeah. This boat was sailing in the tropics, apparently. The air was warm.
The hot air is from him talking too much.
Yeah. Saying too much. Going too far with his verbiage. So this refers to this comment refers to this idea that you only get one mystery, and I'm not it could be a reference to the monks. Insight, and it's a reference to, you know, there's further to go. There's cultivation after insight. I mean, that is the kind of the teaching of our school. Basically, is that insight is sudden and practice is gradual, and we, you know, continue to cultivate our insight. You know, repeatedly, over and over, and clarify, not stopping, keeping going, no final resting understanding, in any resting understanding. But this idea of the mystery stimulated in me a memory of a poem by one of our esteemed Sangha members here in the room, Oscar Balaguer. And I want to read you this poem because I think it gets right to the heart of things. This poem is called The Mystery of Me. I'm amazed at the mystery of me, the diligence with which I circulate blood, my precision of ion equipoise, how serene my unerring step, right and left in perfect turn, breathing, scratching, all of that. And my mind, where does it come up with all that stuff? It's almost a little scary, the dark profundity of me, that there is so much I don't understand, the seeing of it, and never can or ever will control. Who is there for the me to thank? I don't know it all. I don't know that at all. So it's a wonderful poem that was offered a few years ago at our, Winter Solstice Celebration. And I asked Foster for a copy of it, and he said, I think he sent me a message saying, well, please send me a copy of it. I'd like to have that. So this is something that he doesn't apparently know where it is, but I have it, and I will happily send it back to you. So, Oscar, yesterday you wanted to bring up something about this case and the final words. Would you like to bring that up again? Do you have a further question?
It seems to me, it's a mic I need to use.
Oh, yeah.
I think Yang Sheng is recognizing the monk's attainment, but he wants to keep it on the slant. He doesn't want to spare too much hot air. So he's saying, based on your attainment.
Mm-hmm.
You get to take the seat. You're pretty good. There's only one mystery. You got it. There's nothing to add. Now you work on that. You go, boy. you're on the right track. You got it all. Something like that. So don't think he was being hard on the monk.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying too much, but he also didn't want to burden the monk with, oh, how great you are, you know, good job, something like that.
Well, you know, I think you could look at it that way. Wansong seems to have a little bit of, Wansong likes to be acerbic. He likes to not take what these teachers say at face value. He likes to say, well, what about this? What about the fact that there's already a moon in the boat and the insight? That itself was extra, you know. but what you said perfectly. I think reasonable and understanding, and the way you put it, you have Yang Shan being compassionate. You know, he's expressing his compassionate appreciation for the monk's attainment, and the way he's expressed it and the way he's brought it forth, and because of his, you know, Yang Shan's great equanimity, he's not bothered by, don't you have any other way of guidance? So, yeah, no, I think yours is a reasonable and accurate understanding.
I'm influenced by times I've gone to my teacher thinking, oh, that was really good what happened, and like him not wanting to hear, wanting to deflate me, you know, sending me away really pissed off for a couple of days until I realized, oh, yeah, he was really supporting me.
Well, you know, there's the grasping way and the giving way. That's not the right word, but anyway, there's two ways that the teachers work with the students. One is to, you know, the grasping way is, you know, you don't have it yet. You know, I've got it and you don't. And the granting, that's the other, that's one. And the granting way is, you've got it, and I support your understanding. And so both techniques are part of our tradition, the grasping way and the granting way. And maybe there's a little bit of both in what we're reading here, you know.
And
there's
the middle way.
There's the middle way, yeah. So, is there any other points that you'd like to bring up? If not, I have one final thing I'd like to say, is that Oscar's poem ends, "Who is there even for the me to thank? I don't know it all. I don't know that at all. And I don't know that either. But I do know that today, this special day, is a day for thanking our original teacher in India, Shakyamuni Buddha. And this is a day of giving thanks for his turning the wheel of Dharma has been turning, you know, was turning before Shakyamuni Buddha, and you know, Shakyamuni Buddha just gave it a big spin, you know. He gave it a big spin. Wheel of Fortune. and set, you know, what we today know and what we today practice in motion. And of course, he did it in a time when there was no written language still, and in his country. And yet his teaching was remembered and ultimately written down. People in that day practiced chanting the teachings over and over again so they could remember them, and reciting them together over and over again. And they had councils where they came together and they said, "Well, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard that, and it sounded like this. And oh, yeah, that's what I heard too. And I also heard this." And they kept the teaching alive in this way until they got, apparently, until somebody could come up with a written language. But what they had was, they had their councils that they would come together and recite the teachings after Shakyamuni's life. So today, we celebrate this, you know, prince from the region of Magadha in northern India, who came forth from a privileged life and decided that he needed to study this body and mind, that was the most important thing. He saw four signs of the aged person, the sick person, dead body, and he saw a monk, and he saw a monk, and he thought, "Well, I don't think I can get there through the sick person, the aged person, or the dead person, but maybe the monk's way is the way to start, you know, the way to go." So he, you know, left his privileged life and, you know, spent, according to our understanding, 6 years of ascetic practice until he gained the way, until he actually gave up ascetic practice and gained the way, and had a great, great insight that's still resonates, and it's resonating in this story. So our calligraphy here, this calligraphy says homage to Shakyamuni Buddha. That's the meaning of this calligraphy. And our Shakyamuni figure is wearing the cranes, the free calling cranes, I'm saying this morning, that were offered to our Sangha by a kind supporter.